Well, this morning is going to be a combination of a message and sort of a vision and ministry update. We haven't done that in a little while, and there's some things working behind the scenes that we said, you know what, let's talk about it, let you guys know what's going on, exciting things that are happening. And so, good time to do it, good time to let y'all know what's happening. I put some pictures on here just to kind of, you know, pictures are good, but some of y'all have seen this slide. You see the guy standing up on the motorcycle? Yeah, that's me. No. That's Jason Jones. He's our guy who makes a cauldron of soup or a pot of chili or whatever every week and helps us with sound and all. Jason used to be a stunt motorcycle rider, and that picture always just cracks me up. He's not here, by the way, today. He and his wife are out of town celebrating their anniversary. So the unfortunate news is no soup for you. but we figured that'll be okay because most people are going to do something for Super Bowl, and you can get out of here and go do something fun there. Let me dive in just to sort of recap vision, mission, and values. A lot of y'all are here on every Sunday, but you don't really know who we are, what we're about as a church. We talk about this at the Good News Story, but we do that probably four times a year. And if you've not been able to come, then you haven't heard this before. But just as a reminder, you know, who we are, what we're about as a church, as you can see on the screen, our vision is to experience and express love from God to others. Love is the central point for what we want to be about. And it's often the last thing that the non-Christian, non-believing world really thinks of us and experiences us from us as believers. But we want love to be the central factor. And when you think about mission and evangelism, that all starts with us receiving and experiencing a love from God. And then when we do that, we can't help but give that away. So that's our vision. The verse that undergirds that is Galatians 5, verse 6b, which says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." I mean, that's just, I've always loved that verse, and I just think captures in very briefly what we're about in a concise way. Our mission, so the mission is, how do we accomplish the vision? It's specific things. Our mission is to connect with people, make connections, to build relationships through community workshops, neighborhood-focused ministry, serving local needs, whatever they may be, mentoring, and worship. And so some explanations there. We haven't done a whole lot of community workshops. A few years ago, Kelsey Tinker did a CPR training, which brought some people in. But it's that kind of thing. You know, maybe there's a skill that you have, something that you know how to do well, and you say, I'll do a workshop and teach people how to do this particular thing. It doesn't have to be anything spiritually related. But through workshops, we're able to get side to side with people, shoulder to shoulder, and we learn. When you learn something new with people, there's connection that is made. And so when we think about the kingdom and wanting people to experience the love of Jesus, that's a real non-threatening, easy way to begin to develop relationships, to make connection and develop relationships. The marriage course is kind of one of those workshops. It's a 7-week thing that we're doing, and we put it out on, as was mentioned earlier, on Eventbrite, picked up some interest. But we want to be doing those kinds of things to be able to connect with people who don't know Jesus, or maybe are not walking with Jesus. Maybe they grew up in church, but they've kind of drifted. It's happened to a lot of us in the room who have come back. So that's what we want to be doing. And then the others are kind of self-explanatory. The mentoring really is, we think about kind of spiritual mentoring, which the other word for that a lot of us are familiar with is discipleship. But mentoring is really just coming along someone as a friend and walking with each other. And I've mentioned this before, but Steve Brown, you know, one of my mentors, has said, you know, I have a lot of people ask me, you know, Dr. Brown, will you disciple me? And he says, no, I'm not going to disciple you, but I'll be your friend. And the way that he says is, I'll come alongside of you and help you grow in your relationship with you. That's really what discipleship is. So that's what we want to be about. And then worship. Weekly with each other, and then daily or regularly, personally. Values, just briefly, just being able to be ourselves. It's one of the reasons that we love the environment of a brewery because it's it just kind of says you can be yourself. And I think people experience that. Some of the, it's been mentioned before that some of the pretense that we experience walking into church is, as hard as we try in church, there's just sort of an aura that we feel like we have to put on an air of being better maybe than we are. And we're all scoundrels. We're all rebellious. We're all broken. And you know what? This is the place for broken, rebellious people. And so we want to have an environment where people feel like they really can be themselves. Relationships are important. Every church, when you have a large gathering of people, you're going to have program type things. I mean, in some senses, a Sunday morning worship service is a program, but we try to do it in such a way that it's relational so that people can connect with each other. The relationships with each other are super important, and then also just fostering and encouraging for each of us our relationship with God. And then with our neighbors in our community, those around us at work, where we live, even right here, we're in downtown Buford, how can we build relationships with the people around us? Conversation. On Sunday mornings, as you know, the way that we do our service is not just one person up front talking. We create space where everybody, if God's put something on your heart, good news, something to share, a verse of encouragement, we think that there's value in hearing and allowing space to hear from one another. But conversation is important, to be a conversational church. Discomfort is one of our values because it's how we grow. And none of us like discomfort, you know, but we try to, sometimes if you come in and you feel uncomfortable, maybe sharing on Sunday morning is uncomfortable, but we try to encourage that because it's how we grow. And when we enter into discomfort, it actually is a benefit to others. It can be a comfort to others. So discomfort's a value. And then hospitality, just opening ourselves and our space to our neighbors. It's the best way to experience and express love. And so we're able to do that here at Elixir. We do that with them, but even our homes. And you may not be somebody who says, well, I don't really have the kind of home that I feel comfortable bringing people in. Well, you can bring people into your life. Invite somebody to coffee or lunch or an event. I'm seeing Hernando and Debbie here just with their passion for soccer. Hernando, you know, organizes Atlanta United watch parties, and he'll do it here. He'll do it at different places. That's hospitality, inviting people to come in and just connect and build relationships. So that's ministry vision, mission, values. Ministry update, few things we'll talk about. You can see them on the screen. Mentoring, compassion, and ministry space. Under the element of mentoring, you saw that in our mission, we really have a desire. You know, the men's group is going. They're doing great on Wednesday nights. There's an opportunity for guys to connect there. We've mentioned before, you know, the women in the church, we're looking for leadership for that. But our moms are busy. Our women are busy. So we've had people in the past that have been leading. But if you feel like, hey, I'll step into that gap, maybe do it with somebody else, then come talk to us and let us know. So for that element of connection and community for our women, we'd love to see something develop there. But even at another level, we've been talking for a while about the value of just personal relationships. You know, the idea of older, mature believers connecting with younger, sort of those who are sort of new on their journey, regardless of their age. And just putting them together and sort of a coaching, friendship, discipleship, mentoring, informal sort of way. Our guys watched the movie The Forge, I guess about a month ago. And I know for me, and we all talked about it with the group, it really stirred up in us a reminder of how important that is. In that movie, you've got a teenage boy who graduated from high school and really had no direction. His dad had left, his dad wasn't home, and a business owner took him under his wing and really changed the course and direction of his life. And, you know, I think we were all just reminded how important that is. We all need that. Every single one of us needs somebody in our life to encourage us. And then we can, at some point, also be an encourager to someone else. I'm talking about this now because I had lunch with Scott Maudsley a couple weeks ago. He founded Dads on Tap, and he works with Man in the Mirror Ministries. I can't remember. Who's the guy that wrote the book, Man in the Mirror? I can't remember. But it's a national, really impactful ministry for men. And he said they're doing something called Joe with a Bro. And on Friday, March 14th, they're just trying to get guys to encourage them to say, hey, let's go get coffee. And this applies to women too, I would say. For us, we want to just, it's an easy entry point. And he said, it's just a great starting place. He said, you know, it's kind of three questions that we'll focus on. What's your story? How'd you grow up? You know, did you grow up in a faith tradition? What's your story? What's your background? It's kind of the first thing. How has your upbringing impacted, you know, who you are today? Where are you? And then the third question is, how can I help? How can I be an encourager to you? And it sort of sets up some direction for a relationship. So we thought, you know, we'll leverage this and cast a vision for our church, for men and for women, to say it doesn't have to be March 14th, it can be any time. But if you are interested, you can scan the QR code on your table. It says response form. And if you're somebody that says, you know what, I'd be happy to come along someone who's younger in the faith. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I've been doing this for a little while, and I probably could be a help and encouragement. I'd be happy to do that. I'd be happy to be a mentor. Or you may be somebody that says, I'd like to have somebody in my life that could kind of help me in that direction. You know, to me, the ideal would be that we could pair and partner people within our church, but it doesn't have to be just in the church. Maybe people that you know, that somebody comes to mind to go, you know what, I'm going to go offer this to my neighbor. I'm going to go offer this to my coworker. So it's just a vision to cast to say your spiritual journey, especially if you're somebody who's been walking with the Lord and you've got some maturity in faith, is so, so valuable. If you're like me, we kind of take for granted all of the blessing that we've received in that. And there are so many people in this room and around us who would say, I would love that. I'd love to benefit from that. I'd love to learn from your journey. So that's the piece about mentoring. We just want to cast that. That's a part of our mission. We have opportunity here just to develop some friendships. It can be one-on-one, or it could be a group of four. It could be, you know, two younger in the faith and two more mature in the faith. And you get together and just kind of do one lunch, you know, every couple of weeks or once a month, or get coffee or whatever. So I want to encourage you with that. But there is information. If you're interested, you can go to the response form and sign up, or just, you know, talk to me, talk to us. The second that we're excited about is compassion. This church, one of the main reasons we exist is to help meet people's needs, spiritual, emotional, physical, relational. That's why the church exists, is to help people. And so our leadership team recently made the decision to start a compassion fund, which is, it's giving above and beyond what we would normally give. And everything in that compassion fund will be used to help people with tangible needs, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, you name it, in the church and outside of the church. Last year, we gave away, it was about a little over $10,000 was given to help people in very real, tangible, physical needs. And so my guess is that that'll probably be about the same this year. So if this is something that touches your heart, if you'd like to give, when you, if you write a check, you can write compassion in the memo line. Or if you give via Tithely, there's a drop down, and you can, I think the first one is general fund and the second is compassion. So you can choose that. And we would ask, I mean, just because there are bills and expenses, it's up to you and how you give. But if you do give, give above and beyond what you normally do so that we don't take a hit on our normal expenses. But we're excited about establishing that because I think it can actually take us to a whole nother level in being able to meet needs. The last thing we'll talk about is ministry space update. We mentioned, maybe it was a month ago or so, you know, our kids had been going down to Primrose, an event space a couple doors down, and I got a text on a Friday leading into Sunday, this is the last Sunday we're going to be open. And so we met, and then that Sunday morning, I got another text and said, oh, by the way, it's not available. like 5 minutes before the service. Well, we were down there, and we were able to get in, and it was fine. They had an event the night before, and they said, it's still a little messy. We said, well, we don't care. And so we were able to use it. But then Ray and I and our leadership, I mean, we just started praying to go, God, we need some space for our kids. Where else can they go? Ray and I walked over to the Buford United Methodist Church right here next door, and we put a phone call in, and they're going to talk to their leadership and see if they have any space that we can use. But we checked with Chin Chin Coffee around the corner. I mean, even the Mexican grocery store, I really didn't know this, but they have a sitting area in the back with booths and chairs. I'm like, this is perfect for our elementary kids. Just bring them in, buy them a snack and a soda, and sit back and have the lesson. And Laura's looking at me like I've got three heads. Like, no, you do children's ministry if you want to do that. But it's an option. But as God would have it, we found out that Toast and Jam, which is a co-working space down closer towards Barebone Steakhouse, 159 steps from here, not bad, is a great space. They've got a conference room. So if you have a membership there, it's $180 a month, and then you can access and reserve the conference room. And so the couple that runs the space, they're believers. They've been in ministry for 20 years. In fact, I think the husband is the regional director for the Wesleyan Church, which 12 Stone is a Wesleyan church. And so when we told them what we were doing, they love what we're doing. They said, yes, we can definitely work with you guys. And they said, nobody's ever here on Sunday mornings anyway, so come on down and use it. So this is our second Sunday using Toast and Jam. And I think Laura said last week that it's a great space for our kids. So God provided in a way that we really didn't expect. And it was just a huge blessing. Hillside, many of y'all know we have the Hillside farmhouse that we, retreat house that we meet at during the week. We've been in process for a year and a half working with the Bice family of trying to, we first went through Sugar Hill and tried to get annexed into Sugar Hill. That didn't work. We're in Gwinnett. And the leadership team decided just a couple of weeks ago, since we started that process, our expectation of the overall cost of doing this has gone from like $8 million to $12 million. And we kind of do have a fear of raising that amount of money, but that's not anything that we shy away from, because we know that God is our provider. If he wants us to be there, he'll bring that money in. And what we started to look at is not sure that we can be profitable at that amount of expense, $12 million. We were going to do a wedding venue, an event space, and a coffee house, tap room, you know, all that. And also, we've known from the beginning, 24 acres was really probably a lot more property than we needed. It was probably four times the amount of property than we needed. But we were still willing to look at it because we felt like that's where God wanted us to go. And it's also, that's what makes it beautiful. You know, it's tucked away, and that's part of the nature of it. But we, the leadership team, in talking about all of this and looking at the process and the added expenses even more working through Gwinnett County, we said, you know, I think God is leading us in a different direction right now. And it may be that it comes back around a hillside at some point or another piece of property, but for now, we put the pause on that. And, you know, we have a peace about it. You know, people came to me and said, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm fine. And we're good. Because the main reason we were looking at it is because we felt like that's where God was leading. But if it looks like he's leading somewhere else, that's where we want to go. We just want to follow God and be wherever he wants us to be. So we put a pause on Hillside. We're moving in a different direction. And we said, okay, well, now what? And Dave Lee, who's been leading the Hillside project, has done an amazing job with all of that anyway. But he said, you know, I noticed that there's the space next to Elixir is available for rent. And so Cravens Doggett is a commercial real estate guy, and he checked into it, and we've been talking with the landlord. And so we're exploring that possibility. That space is kind of a mirror image of this space, because Barebone Steakhouse used to be down here, and it inhabited both sides of the space. And I think it's probably right about there where that the professor, the mad professor is, where there's a doorway. And they used to be connected there. So we're looking at that possibility. And Elixir said, if you guys go next door, we'll open that back up. And then we can have access to both sides of it. So be praying about that. Talking to Cravens and to Dave. Things seem to be moving in a positive direction with negotiations with the landlord. But there's still potentially some stipulations that he has that he may not be willing to meet us in the middle on. We don't know. And so we're not going to try to make anything happen, but we want to be faithful in pursuing this possibility if that's where God wants us to be. So really be praying about that. And I don't know, we may know something in this next week if that's going to be an option. And if it's not, then we just stay here. We keep doing what we're doing and continue to seek the Lord in terms of where he wants us to be. But wanted to give you an update on that space. You know, we're kind of, in a sense, a wandering church, like the Israelites in the desert for 40 years. And that's not a bad place to be, because it causes us to be totally dependent on God every single Sunday. You know, we've had a lot of surprises over the first few years. You know, when we were at Monkey Wrench, get a phone call on Saturday, "Hey, sorry, you guys can't meet tomorrow. We have an event going on we forgot to tell you about." Okay. And we have to work with it. We adjust. But it keeps us dependent on God. It keeps us humble. And in a lot of ways, it's an exciting place to be. So I wanted to give you an update on those things. And then the last thing I'll just mention, we are going to email you a link to a ministry assessment. We've done this before. It's been a little while since we've done it, but we want to hear from you. And you can respond to it. It'll be like multiple choice. You could rate certain things, 1 to 5, 5 being great, 1 being poor, whatever. You can do it anonymously, but we want to know, how are you experiencing Good News Church? What are your suggestions? What are your ideas? What are some gaps? What are some blind spots? What are some areas of encouragement, you know, that would be helpful for us to be aware of? So be aware of that. We'll include that in the weekly email. We'll put it up on the Facebook page and on the website as well. So we are so grateful. Ray and I were talking this morning. The people of this church, this isn't just a church in general. This is a church where we know people. We know each other. I've never been a part of a church that I knew the guys that I'm, like the men's group, where I actually knew their wives and I knew their kids and I know their kids' names and I know their personalities. I've never been a part of a church where we have that, but we have that here. And so it's a blessing. So that's a brief update. I hope that's helpful. I hope you're inspired. I hope you're encouraged. And we are, and we're grateful. And did I miss anything out? Did I leave anything out? Okay. All right. Well, let me pray and I'll transition. And the message today is shorter than normal because I knew we were giving that update. But let's transition towards God's word and what he has for us this morning. Lord, we are grateful for your provision, how you've brought us, how you've provided for us. You're several steps ahead of us every time. Sometimes it feels like, oh, this looks like a dead end, but then it's just a redirection. And I am grateful, as I mentioned, that it keeps us dependent on you. And so, Lord, that is the place that we want to be, is dependent on you. We don't want to take anything for granted. We don't want to take space for granted. We don't want to take partnerships for granted. We don't want to take you for granted. We just want to be wherever you want us to be, and we want to do whatever you want us to do. And so we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I did intend to mention, you know, we see ourselves as kind of a wandering church, but we see ourselves as an outpost of the kingdom of God. That is what we are. And an outpost, I mentioned this maybe a few weeks ago, but it's for people who are hungry and weary and thirsty, and they just are in need. They need a place to sleep. They need a place to rest. They need a place to be recharged and refueled. And that's who we are as a church. We're not here only for us. We're really here for the people who aren't here, so that when they come in and they need to be encouraged and they need rest and they need help, we can help, and we can extend God's love through the ministries that we have here and through relationships. So view ourselves, that's who we are. We're an outpost of the kingdom of God. That's really what we're all about. All right, so transitioning. We've been in a series, Growing in Faith, and the purpose is really to identify practices and give encouragement to help each of us grow in faith and in our relationship with God. And I was thinking about that this week, and Dale and I were together yesterday. I said, you know, there's no real black and white checklist on how we grow in faith. God grows our faith in so many different ways that you can't even put on paper. But there are a few things that if we pay attention to, they can be really helpful and instrumental in helping us grow in faith. And so those are some of the things that we're focusing on. If you're here, then you're like me. You want to be growing in faith. You want to be growing in your awareness and love for God and for Jesus. And so that's what we want to be. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, is our sort of theme verse, and you see that. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's what we want to be, like trees that are planted by streams of water, always prospering, never having leaves that wither and die, but always being green and fresh and growing. And so that's sort of our vision as we have gone through this series. I identified before we started, there, like I mentioned, some ingredients for growth. I think these are key ingredients for growth. The first is salvation, obviously, but the undergirding thing there is to realize that God is the one who brings us into relationship with Him. You know, I mentioned, I think a couple weeks ago when I was preaching, that the way that it works is we take the first step in salvation, God takes the second step, and by the time we get to the third step, you realize it was God who took the first step. And when you realize that, what happens? Your heart is flooded and filled with gratitude. And so the importance of knowing kind of your starting point, did God do this or did I do this? If we recognize I am here by God's grace, it's Him that brought me to Himself. He loved me before I loved Him. I love Him because He loved me. Then we live a life of gratitude. And everything that we do is a response to His love for us. If we think that I made a good decision for Jesus and I'm here because of my good decision, then there is a bit of a sense of entitlement. And when things don't go the way that we want, then God's not keeping up His end of the deal, because I deserve better because of the decisions that I've made. We have an expectation of God that at some point will disappoint. And that's oftentimes why so many people have left the church, have left faith, is because they may not even know it, but their perspective was that they made a good decision for God and He has not, He's not reciprocated. He's not done good for them. And so they're out. But that starting point is important. And Ray preached a couple weeks ago on kind of the theme was perfect makes practice. Having an awareness of the starting point that we have received the righteousness of Jesus. We already have it. We're not trying to earn His favor. We're not trying to pursue and seek after His favor. We already have it. And everything that we do is icing on the cake. It's an outflow of what He's already done for us. That's important to understand. Second, submission to God's ways. It's not enough to believe. There are a lot of people who believe the right things, but we have not turned over control. And we have to come to a point where we just have open hands and we say, God, it's yours. My life is going to be guided by you, not me. You're not my co-pilot. You're my pilot. So submission is a big deal. Third is spending time with God on a regular basis. That's how our intimacy and our relationship is strengthened, is allowing Him to speak to us directly. You know, and it's why we have this every week, what's your gold from God? You know, trying to encourage personal Bible reading, personal prayer. And all of us, especially with prayer, we all feel weak in that. You know, we don't know what we're doing. But the fact that you're on your face or in your car and you're opening yourself up to God and saying, God, I'm here. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm here. I'm opening myself. That causes us to grow. And He meets us there. I think He loves that. When we show up and we think we know what we're doing and we kind of put on that pretense with God, you know, kind of sends us in a different direction. So spending time with God on a daily basis, spending time with God's people in a weekly basis, you know, whether it's the men's group on Wednesday nights or really primarily Sunday morning worship, coming and being with God's people, being committed to one another, sharing in communion like we did a few weeks ago, those things are important. Christianity is not a Lone Ranger faith. It's a communal faith. It's why Jesus came, to bring us into His family. So spending time with God's people on a regular basis, sharing God's love with others. Our faith grows when God gives us opportunity and we step into discomfort and we express through our words or our deeds his love to us, to other people. If you've had that experience, you know there's probably nothing greater, no greater pleasure or joy in this life than when you know that God has used you in the life of someone else. It's incredible. So our faith grows that way. And then lastly, and we'll talk more about this in a few weeks, but suffering. We hate it. You know, if we could cross that off the list, we would. That's usually not part of our plan for spiritual growth, but it is a part of God's plan for spiritual growth for numbers of reasons. So today, just going to touch on the topic of daily rest. Daily rest, being still before God. As I was thinking about what to communicate, this is what I came up with. When you spend time reading God's word and opening the door for him to speak, you experience him meeting you in very specific ways, in the specific places where you are in life's journey. And when you can see how God meets you so specifically and uniquely, it grows your faith. And I know many of y'all, probably all of y'all to some degree, have experienced that. When we open the door and we give God time and space to speak to us, we see how he meets us in very specific ways. An example of that for me was a couple weeks ago, Saturday, February 1st. We're coming off the heels of some of these conversations with Hillside and possibilities over here next to Elixir. And Dave Lee mentioned, he's like, you know, I wish God would just give us a burning bush, you know, make it clear. But it wasn't clear. You know, and there's a lot in this journey that's not clear for you individually and in your family. There's so much stuff that we deal with that's just not clear. And that particular morning, I've got several devotionals that I'm reading, mostly because I've recommended them to other people, some of whom are really hurting. And so I'm kind of reading what I've recommended so that I can have conversations with them. But the three devotionals that I read, Bible in 1 Year, Streams in the Desert, and Chasing Whimsy by Bob Goff, which is really good, they all lined up. And here was the message that God gave me that morning. Bible in 1 Year, you can trust God. That was the message. You can trust God. Streams in the Desert, this is my doing. This is from me. You're not outside of my will or my purposes. This is for me. And these devotionals just flesh that out in such a specific way that I knew God was speaking to me through that. By the way, Streams in the Desert, I think, was written in 1929 by Mrs. Charles Komen. And she and her husband were missionaries to Japan. And they came home because he got sick and she cared for him. And it was a time of suffering, many years for suffering for both of them. And so she wrote this devotional. She's brought in poems and other writings and things like that, put it together. And it's specifically for God meeting us, especially in times of suffering. But it is a fantastic, highly recommended devotional. But God spoke to me, you can trust me, this is my doing. And then in Chasing Whimsy with Bob Goff, the message was, be still and know that I am God. And I put all those three together, and it was, I walked out of my time with the Lord in the morning, and I knew that he had spoken to me. And so when we create space, when we create time, and we don't just rush through it, it's not a box that we check, we really give time for God to say whatever he wants. Some mornings, that doesn't happen, maybe most mornings, but a lot of mornings, it does. And you know that God has spoken to you. And your faith can't help but increase because you know he's met with you and he sees you and he loves you. God met me in a significant way through his word. And I love Isaiah 55:11, a bit of a paraphrase, but here's the reality. God's word will not return void. You're not going to spend time in God's word and have it be of no benefit. There will always be huge benefit. Oftentimes, it's far greater than you could ever imagine. His word will not return void, but it will accomplish what he pleases, and it will prosper and achieve God's purpose for which it was sent. That's a great promise. He has a purpose, and he has a plan, and everything that you're reading when you're reading it, he's doing something with it. He's planting seeds of hope, of faith, of growth, of relationship in your life through His Word. The reality is that as relates to growing to faith, God draws us to Himself and grows our faith through our needs and our neediness. We don't want to be needy, but we are, and that's how He gets in touch with us. That's how He, you know, when you, they always say the worst time to go to the grocery store is when you're hungry, right? But God gives us a hunger. He gives us a spiritual hunger that usually comes through neediness, and He's the grocery store. Spiritually speaking, it is good to go to the grocery store when we're hungry. God says, come to Me. And when we come to Him, He begins to do His work. Our growing in faith is not a result of our diligence, but of our neediness and our willingness to come to Him and of His willingness to meet with us in our time of need. Doesn't have to be an extreme time, but pay attention to those areas of your life where there's neediness and bring that to Him and He'll meet us there. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. It's a little bit long, but it's good. He speaks to this, and I picked this. This was a Streams in the Desert devotional from February the 6th. Spurgeon said, "We have been compelled to go to God for our souls as constant beggars, asking for everything." It's okay to ask for everything. "Bear witness, children of God, you have never been able to get anything for your souls anywhere else. We try, but we can't. All the bread your soul has eaten has come down from heaven, and all the water of which it has drank has flowed from the living rock, Christ Jesus. Your soul has never grown rich in itself. It has always been dependent on the daily bounty of God." Isn't that good? Oftentimes we feel guilty of going to God when we have need. You know, oh, why am I not so motivated to pray when things are going well? I'm a lot more motivated to pray when things aren't, and then I confess that to God. "God, I'm sorry, I haven't prayed in a while because everything's been going so good, but now I have need and I'm here and I feel bad." That doesn't bother God. Don't feel guilty about that. That's His way of keeping us connected. So oftentimes it's our needs that keep us connected. Don't let that push you away from God. Let that propel you towards God. I'll skip down here a little bit. So neediness is important to understand, that our faith grows there when we embrace that. Stillness. Spiritual growth in many ways is like standing on the moving sidewalk at the Atlanta airport. You ever been on that sidewalk? That's spiritual growth. We get on the sidewalk and we be still. We stand still and we let God move us. And Dale and I were yesterday together talking. I said, you know, that's the Christian life. I said, have you ever been on the standing on the moving sidewalk and there's somebody speed walking next to you? That's every other world religion. Now, maybe they're just trying to get their steps in and cardio and all that. That's fine, right? But that's every other world religion. It's just work faster, better, do it. Or the people that get on the moving sidewalk and they're speed walking. That's okay. That's kind of cool. But that's spiritual growth. To get on that moving sidewalk, our job is not to bring about our own spiritual growth. Our job is to put ourselves in a place on that moving sidewalk that God can do His work in our lives. This verse from Isaiah 30, verse 15 says this, "This is what the sovereign Lord, the holy God of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." Isn't that good? In rest, it's the opposite of what we think. Quietness, trust, repentance, rest. That's where we meet God. That's where He meets us. And then we all are familiar with Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know. Just spend time being still. Even if you fall asleep, it's okay. Be still. Illustration in a devotional that I read recently said this idea of stillness, it's like the person who's having to be still when a portrait is being painted of them. or a photographer is trying to capture their picture. If we want to be conformed into the image and likeness of Jesus, we have to be still and allow God to do that. If we're not still, it's probably not going to happen. And then I love, just throw this in because it's a great book title, if you've ever heard of it. You've heard the phrase, don't just sit there, do something, right? This book title is, don't just do something, sit there. That's what we're called to do. Don't just do something, sit there. So stillness, well, there's an opposite side of stillness, and it's busyness. The rest of this verse, and repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. He's saying that to Israel. You don't want any part of that. Why not? We're the same way. Because we're busy. We have other things to do. Life is crazy. Our faith is weak. But we have to push back against that. Busyness is the enemy of relationships. That's something that I was reminded of again this past week during the marriage course. As Laura and I were talking, you know, you're supposed to identify, they listed like 25 different things, ways to connect with your spouse, things that they love and enjoy. And you're supposed to see if you can pick their top three. And then you talk about it. Well, I successfully picked Laura's top three. So that was the good news. The bad news is I'm doing a terrible job of addressing those top three. And then we talked, you know, busyness and distraction in relationships, it's just the enemy. And we have to push back against that. And it's that way in our relationship with God as well. And then the last thing I'll touch on is awareness. This idea of awareness, and there's a minus sign next to that one because, as it says, the interesting thing about the Christian life and growing in faith is when you think you're advancing and growing, there's a good chance that you may not be. It was the Pharisees' problem. They thought that they were so far ahead of everyone else in righteousness, in goodness, in faith. But Jesus said, "You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are so far away from me." And the flip side is the Apostle Paul considered himself as the chief of all sinners. So the other side of awareness is the more aware that we are of our spiritual inadequacy, our lack of knowledge, and bankruptcy of behavior, the more likely that we're actually growing in faith. But there's a condition. We have to be connected to Jesus. We have to be connected to the vine. Some of y'all are familiar with the devotional reading of, it's really prayers, called Valley of Vision. It's been recommended to me for probably 20 years. Well, I'm reading it this year for the first time. Ricky has read it for years, and Jimmy Greer has as well. And Jimmy gave me a copy, and I said, all right, I'm going to do it this year. Well, it's amazing when you think about your awareness of spiritual inadequacy and lack. These are Puritans from the 1600s. Their prayers, if you think you've ever prayed a prayer of confession or repentance that's deep, you haven't. And the refreshing thing about reading these prayers is that these are holy people. These guys really did. I mean, you know, on a scale of spiritual, if you're going to rate them, they're like up at the 9 or 10. But their prayers are just addressing their inadequacy and their lack, and we can relate to that. We don't have to run from it. We relate to it. That's a good thing. So confess your sins. Repent of your sins and bring them to Jesus. And there's nothing but grace. There's nothing but blessing. There's nothing but joy that he has in exchange for that. And that is one of the great ways that our faith grows. And Jesus says, John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So our role in growing in faith is just staying connected. Staying connected. He's the one that will bring life. It's not all really about growing in faith and getting better, but it's about being connected in relationship to Jesus. The phrase union with Christ, I mentioned this during communion a few weeks ago, but the phrase union with Christ is mentioned 260 times in the New Testament. there's something to be said there. Connectedness, that's where we grow. If we're connected to Jesus, we'll grow and we'll be fruitful like a tree planted by streams of water. And that's good news for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that our growth and relationship with you does not depend on us, and that our role is to allow you to do your work in us, to meet us. We are to create space and time for you to come, and quietness and stillness for you to meet us. Lord, help us to enter into that and remind us of the good news of the gospel, that it's while we were sinners that you came for us. When we were at our worst, you gave us your best in Jesus. And we are free. We walk in freedom. We walk in joy. When we come to you, when we stay connected, when we confess, when we repent, and when we believe by faith that Jesus, you are the Son of God, and you are our rescue, our Savior and salvation. We love you, and we pray in your name. Amen.